Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Abide with me. Fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. Reading from 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The first seven verses of 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'd also like to read the last two verses of that chapter, 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let's give thanks for these words and beg that God will abide with us and not leave us to ourselves. As we read in Romans chapter 1, given over to a reprobate mind, shall we pray? Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ, giving thanks for what has been given to us as a nation, thinking of our pilgrim forefathers and the heritage they have left us, giving thanks for what has been given through the years, bringing our nation back to Thyself in the Great Awakening, but preaching as Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield. And we pray, Father, for another awakening like that, that we may be awakened to our falling away, that we may be awakened to the perilous times which are beginning to take place in a greater and greater way, and more danger in our homes, in our churches, in our government, in our schools, in all of our nation, and also in many other nations. The perilous times are here in terrible ways, the suffering it brings, the dishonor to Thee, and far from what, Lord Jesus, You taught us to pray, to hallow the name of our Father, to have His kingdom to come, and His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we are far from that in so many nations, in so many places within the nation, in our governments, in our schools, our churches, our homes, our individual lives. We pray that Thou would awaken us again to reality, to truth, and especially the truth of Thy Word. We give thanks that we have that Word, which is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, and that there is a hope, Father, from Thee, through Christ, for that instruction, and that righteousness can return if we but believe and obey Thy Word in repentance, in faith, in obedience. And we pray that that may take place in a reviving in the church, an awakening in the world. We pray, Father, for Thy blessing on those that have temporal needs as well, those in hunger, homeless, war-torn lands. We pray for the sick, the injured. We pray, Father, for broken homes and children in those homes. We pray for our government. Pray, Father, that we may have again the fear of Thee, which is the beginning of wisdom, both our leaders and us as a people, and other nations as well, that we might return to Thee through Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. As we look at these words here that Paul wrote to Timothy through the inspiration of God, God telling him what was going to take place. A number of weeks ago, we preached from the last part of this third chapter and the first part of the fourth chapter, where Paul, writing to Timothy, stated to him that from a child he had known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. After having declared those things to Timothy, he charged him before God and the Lord Jesus, who will judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, to preach the Word, to be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. We read that in the first verses of the fourth chapter. That alone can waylay, can take us away also if we have fallen into the perilous times. And that is our hope for today, that the church will again be a salt and light in our nation and other nations. We are in perilous times. we are having those things which happen in perilous times. When we think of perilous, a shorter word is peril. We have heard in the recent days the peril of the storm coming to our east coast, raging in the sea, coming to the coast, as it is right now. By the time you hear this message, you will know what destruction it has brought, what peril has taken place, whether there were injuries, death, homelessness, all the things that happen in such a time of storm. Here, Paul writes to Timothy that perilous times shall come. That's part of what are to take place, as he says, in the last days. And the last days actually began when Christ was here on earth, when Paul wrote to the church of the Hebrews and stated that God hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. We might say that now we are in the last of the last days, nearer and nearer to the end. We are having this fulfilled, as Paul said, it shall come. In the second verse, it describes what those perils are, what will bring on perilous times. Listen again to that second verse of 2 Timothy chapter 3. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And then it continues in the next verses, but we'll stop there for the moment. There's enough there to make perilous times that are now happening. They have happened for many years in our homes. Lovers of their own selves, rather than husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands and love them as well. This has taken place less and less. Broken homes have increased. I read the other day how many there were in the 1920s, then in the 1940s, then in the 1960s, in the 1980s, increasing all through those years, a higher percentage, till, according to the Census Bureau, there was one out of two. I remember in our county here, when there was an article in the paper, how many marriage licenses there were and how many divorces, and it was just about equal. What a sad state. It is perilous. Lovers of their own selves. That's what has happened. And it brings terrible things. It brings terrible things in the home. Terrible things between husbands and wives. It brings terrible things to the children, to the next generation. And we have, as it were, that they sometimes state, sown the wind and we're reaping the whirlwind. When I was younger, we used to hear the statement, as goes the home, so goes the nation. That is happening. Our nation is now more and more becoming divided. Our nation is showing itself as being lovers of their own selves, not statesmen that want the good of the nation in the leadership. When I think of the last election that we had and those that lost the election, they're acting like spoiled babies. It is a terrible thing. They're just covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. And like one of the communist leaders of the past stated, accuse others of what you're guilty of, and that's being done. It's being done continually. They're talking about our present government taking away from our Constitution and our laws of our land. We are staying more within them than was done in recent years. We have moved away from what we have had for many years since our Pilgrim forefathers and all through the years that God has given us. We are still closer to that in the present administration than in the past. Even the president then said he was going to change the nation. And the president, we hear that we're going to make America great again, as it was in the past. Some of those that wanted to be leaders talk about the evils of the past, and they were there. They were there in our history with the Indians. They were there with the history of our slavery. It was terrible. It was wrong. But there was enough good to overcome it. Now, the wrong seems to be overcoming whatever good is left. We have recent months, weeks, and days had examination for a judge for the future. And those who are doing the examination are acting worse than naughty children. I thought, as we hear of them and what they're doing, how thankful that they are not in the place of leadership. How thankful that we don't have to answer to them when they do not want to answer to what is in right ways taking place and will not submit to it. God gives warning also through Paul when he writes to the church at Rome. Those that resist what God has put into office, no powers that be but are of God. He said, those that resist shall receive damnation. Another shall in the hands of God. Here, God says by Paul, there shall be perilous times. He said, there shall be lovers of their own selves. And it's happening. God said it, and His word is always fulfilled. Sometimes He's long-suffering, patient. Sometimes He answers with judgment rather speedily. But He is long-suffering with us. As I said, it's been a long time, over the years, that the increase of the brokenness of our homes has taken place. We didn't read that far in this third chapter, but further in the chapter we read, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's the picture that God gave to Paul, and Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to write this to Timothy and to tell him what to do about it. Again, I state, preach the word. And I tell each one of you, believe the word of God. And those of you who are preachers, preach the word and pray that God will send laborers into the fields which are white under the harvest where the laborers are few. And do it for our nation. Do it for our homes. Do it for our government. And do it for other nations. I just read of one nation today where the leadership is punishing and doing cruel things to their own people. And the destruction it's bringing, the death, it's a terrible thing. When we think of what is happening in those Arab lands, Syria, what has happened in Iraq and Afghanistan, and is now continuing to take place in Syria, the dangers that are there, very perilous. Some will lose their life. We have these perilous things, lovers of our own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. At the present time, it may not be bringing us death like it is and has done in those nations, and we can be thankful for it. But it leads to that. Our lovers of self have led to more and more strife of words. And as we read here, Father, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. That's what's happening. Traitors, heady, high-minded. Yes, we have traitors in our government. It's a terrible thing. One part of the government against another, traitor to that which they should submit to and should give God honor in, recognizing that whatever is in power is of God. We had to recognize that in some of our past presidents that we may not have agreed with. We are to submit. We are to pray for them. Part of that is also given by Paul. Pray for those that are in authority over us, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life. Is all of this happening, these perilous times, because we're not praying? I'm afraid we are not praying as much as our forefathers did. They set aside days of prayer, times of prayer, prayer and fasting. And why would others have to admit we are not praying continually as we should? We are not praying in one accord, in one place in prayer where it is possible. Not everybody can be in one place, but we should be in one accord, realizing that perilous times shall come, and perilous times are coming and are here. How we need to pray with the songwriter. Listen to that second stanza. Swift to its close ebbs out thy little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou that changest not, abide with me. And we could say also, abide with us together. The third verse, I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like thyself my guide and stay can be, through cloud and sunshine, oh, abide with me. What if God leaves us? What if God does, as I mentioned earlier, Romans 1, he gave them over to a reprobate mind. That seems to be happening. When that does happen, this is what comes. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And the first description in that third verse, without natural affection. What should be the greatest natural affection? A mother's love to her child. Natural affection. Even the animals show it. But we are without natural affection in so many areas. Doctors who are supposed to be taught to save life are told that it will be expected of them that they must perform abortions. I've heard that that's what they're being taught now. We are in a culture of death, a culture without natural affection. Another day has passed. There will be about 3,000 babies murdered. Yes, murdered. That's what it is. Slaughtered, cut to pieces, many of them. Different ways of bringing them to death. Stopping the beating heart that was there in the mother's womb. And part of our government, part of our people, want that. If the man that was appointed to be our next Supreme Court judge would say, I'll gladly agree to have abortion performed. There would be many that would say, now we will vote for you. We will vote for you if you promise to be a murderer. If you promise to allow murder to take place freely. If you allow us to go on without our natural affection. What we saw here, traitors, petty, high-minded, denying what is right and good. That's where we are. Men shall be, and we are. We have begun to fulfill God's word more and more. And again, how we need to pray that through government, other areas as well, pray for those in authority that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life. If we would stop allowing abortion, how many people would go to the street? How many people would just destroy things? That, I'm afraid, is our mentality today. We are there, and we call it a woman's right. Right to murder, right to kill in the worst way to the most innocent people. We have signs all over. Help wanted. There are not the people that could have been born through these last 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Millions, millions, millions are missing. Like one woman said, I can still see the doctor after aborting my baby. Put it in a plastic bag and throwing it in the garbage. That sight will never go away. Thankfully, that woman repented. But that's what's happening, and we want to call it right. I hope our people will wake up before the next election and vote for those who want life rather than those who want more death. And if we have our way, as a nation, as we have been going, allowing more murder, God said, they that shed man's blood, by man shall their blood be shed. We are in for judgment. It's not just perilous times. Perilous times bring awful results. Like I said, the peril of the storm will bring destruction on homes and buildings and many different ways. And one day God will, as He has done in the past. Judah and Israel are an example. And God said through Paul to the New Testament church, these are examples for us upon whom the ends of the earth will come. Not to do as they did. And God's judgment fell. And to the New Testament church, He said how many thousands were killed in God's punishment on them. That has happened in the past. It can happen to us in the future. And it will. We will bring upon ourselves the way of death if we do not wake up to being guilty of lovers of self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. We have so many blessings in nature. We have the blessing of peace when others are at war and suffering because of it. We have prosperity. We have food. We have raiment. We have pleasures. And we have become, as one of the things mentioned here, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. The Lord's Day is used for pleasure more than worship. More than preparing for the Lord's Day, we have a day of the weekend. The weekend of pleasure, so-called. All because perilous times have come. And this is what brings it. Lovers of their own selves. Will that bring happiness? Will that bring peace? No, it'll bring guilt. It'll bring unrest. It'll bring many to the drugstore to get drugs, to quiet their troubled minds. Now we want to make marijuana legal. Why? Can we get peace through that when we are lovers of self? Covetous, boasters, proud? Will that settle our troubled mind, our wicked heart? Our guilty soul? No, only God through Christ. Come back to God in repentance. Come back to God through Christ alone. Listen to the last stanza of the song that was sung. Hold thou thy word before my closing eyes. Show through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks. And earth's vain shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me.
To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Great.